Matthew chapter number 19. And please read with us the text that we've chosen. 19th chapter of Matthew, reading verse 16 to verse 26. 16 through 26. Another occasion in the life of Jesus that's recorded in Scripture for our learning, for our admonition, for our instruction in the things of God. Verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This incident is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some of the things you learn by reading the other two records is that the Bible in one of the Gospels says he came running. Not recorded here in Matthew. Luke says he was a young ruler. So he was a man in a position as far as ruling over people. But all three Gospels tell us he was very rich. He was had exceeding riches. If we want to preach to you today from this portion of Scripture, and the title of my message is taken from the last part of verse 20, What lack I yet? With all that he told the Lord he had done, having boasted or claimed that he had kept the commandments, he still felt something was missing. Something wasn't quite right. What lack I yet? Now, four things I want to give you to consider as I preach this message. First of all, he did not know how to enter into eternal life. He asked that question in verse 1. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He didn't know how. Secondly, he didn't know which of the commandments he might have missed. So in verse 18, he saith unto Jesus, Him, saith unto him, Which? Which of these commandments? And then in verse 20, it's obvious he didn't know himself. Because he says, All these have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? He didn't know how to be saved. He didn't know what he might have missed as far as keeping the commandments, since he claimed to fill them all. He kept them all. And he didn't know himself. And I think it's important as we preach to you this morning. I know this is very familiar to most of our members. We've been saved, some of you, for years, and you've heard this read and preached on. But fourthly, I want you to note, he would not accept what the Lord gave him in explanation. Because the Bible says, when he heard this, he went away sorrowful. He wouldn't accept the knowledge that Jesus gave him, the things he didn't understand, the things he didn't know. When the Lord gave him an understanding as far as what he needed to know, he wouldn't accept it. And I wanted you to know those things before I began, because isn't this basically the state of all mankind? They don't know how to be saved. That's why we have so many different ideas and religions and groups of people teaching this or that or the other. They really don't know. As he says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Most people don't know which of the commandments they may have missed. Many of them claim to be watching and observing the Ten Commandments. But most of them feel just like this young man, what lack I yet? Something's still missing. And the reason, of course, is keeping the commandments will not save you. We know that because we've been taught that. But most people, when you answer the questions that this young man asked, they won't accept the answer, just like him. So it seems like as he comes to the Lord, what good thing may I do? He asks the question. And then he asks, which of the commandments should I keep? And then he said, he didn't say this, but when he heard it, he went away sorrowful. I want to get this in our mind, because his lack of knowledge is so important to us to understand why people aren't saved. They don't know how to be saved. They're so confused by the world and the religious aspects that you find everywhere you go. They'll ask the same question, what must I do? And it's usually in the same way, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? We come into this world with that basic understanding that if we can do something good, maybe God will accept us. And of course, that leaves it wide open to every man's interpretation. His lack of knowledge is universal. This is the way a man is when he's born into this world in a natural state. He comes in with no knowledge of how to get to God. He thinks as the world thinks. If you're here today and lost, you probably think the same way. When I get to the place where I can do what I'm supposed to do, then I'll join the church, or I'll be baptized, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. What good thing? Now, what does the Bible say about that? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Some people are perfectly satisfied to say, well, I've been baptized, so I feel comfortable. Or I've joined the church. I'm a member. I attend church. But they're still in darkness about eternal life. They've not yet understood that what the Bible says about doing a good thing is, there's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, when you hear a message concerning that, then you have this feeling, what lack I yet? I've done what the preacher told me to do. I came forward, I was baptized, I joined the church. But there's something still missing. And they struggle to find out what they need. I need to be more spiritual. I need to be able to speak with tongues. I need to be able to lay hands on people and heal the sick. I need this, I need that. Some good thing. And yet, the answer we'll find in just a few moments is that there's no good thing you can do. Jesus taught him that, but he never did understand it. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Maybe if I become a preacher, I'll lay to rest that uncertainty that I'm lacking something. But I can tell you by the authority of Scripture, being a preacher won't make you feel any better until you really know what the Bible tells you you need in order to have peace with God. Nothing you do will make you feel any better about it. What good thing? Now notice, what good thing may I do? What good thing shall I do? And the answer to that is obvious, but he didn't know it. And you won't either until God opens your understanding and you understand there's nothing good you can do. Because there's none good. How can something that is not good do something good? Well, that's impossible. Again, we'll read that in Romans in just a few moments. But secondly, when Jesus said, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, then his response to that, which? I must have missed something here. Which commandment have I not kept? And if you've never really been saved, you'll have the same type of response. You'll never be satisfied that you've done good. You'll always have that doubt that you've left something out until you come to the place of complete surrender to the only good one who ever lived. Jesus said when he called him, he said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God." See, he didn't understand, did he? He was talking to God and didn't know it. God was addressing him. God was giving him the answers that he needed, but he didn't understand it. Which of the commandments? And people who try to keep the law, they'll always find one that they're a little better at than the others, and they'll fall back on that. Well, I haven't committed adultery. I've never committed adultery. Very few of them will say, I never told a lie, because that's so obvious that everyone lies. But they'll find some of the commandments that they think they do a little better on, and they'll fall back on that and say, well, I've done this one. Boy, I've really kept this one. I've never stole anything in my life. But somehow, you still have this uncertainty. What have I missed? What lack I yet? I may have missed one or two or three. You see, when Jesus told him the commandments to keep, and he only mentioned six of them here, he purposely left out the first three and the last one. Because those are the ones that the man certainly didn't understand he wasn't keeping. Now he'll deal with that later. But then in verse 20, we see the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He doesn't understand at all, does he? Had he never told a lie? Was he like George Washington, never told a lie in his life? Never told an untruth? He claimed that he kept them all. But Jesus is going to show him later on, there's some he certainly didn't even attempt to claim. Something was still missing. You know, that's what misunderstanding of the way of eternal life will do to people. It'll keep you uneasy. It'll keep you in doubt. You'll never have that full assurance. And you'll always think, what lack I yet? There's something else. There's got to be something else. I could remember when I was lost and trying to be the best I could to be saved. And I always felt like there's got to be something else. I'm missing something here. And that's, again, that's a universal thing that happens to people. That's what misunderstanding the law does to you. Now I want to turn to Romans chapter 3 and read this and show you what Jesus was talking about when he said, keep the commandments. If thou wouldst enter into life, keep the commandments. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us what the commandments were all about. Romans 3 verse 19, I hope you'll read this with me. Now we know, and I will tell you right now that Paul didn't always know this. Paul was just like this young man at one point in his life, because Paul was lost. And if you're saved today, you were like this at one point. And then when God saved you, you could say with Paul, now we know, now we understand, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was never intended to save anybody. Jesus knew that. The young man didn't. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What the young man didn't have was the knowledge of sin. He did not know that he was still a sinner. He did not understand the law was not given for him to keep. It was given to close his mouth, that his mouth needed closing. When Jesus told him those commandments, what was his response? All these have I kept from my youth up. He didn't understand that the law wasn't given for him to boast that he'd kept it. It was given to close his mouth and say, no, I can't approach God like that because I know I've not kept God's law. Just exactly the opposite of what he claimed before the Lord. What lack I yet? Well, you lack understanding of Romans 3, verse 19, also in verse number 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them which believe, for there is no difference. There's what the young man didn't understand. And if you're not saved today, that's what you don't understand. The righteousness of God is perfect. You can't keep some laws or part of the laws or any of the laws. You can't keep the law. It was never intended to be kept so you could be saved. It was intended to teach you. To teach you, first of all, that you can't keep it. But people won't learn that. The whole world won't learn what the law says. They never have their mouth closed. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. You see, the righteousness of God is perfect. That's why the Bible says he never sinned. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, I come to fulfill the law, every jot, every tittle, and he did. He never comes short. When Jesus said to him, if thou would be perfect, keep the commandments. He's trying to teach this young man. He couldn't keep the commandments. But it didn't work, did it? All these have I kept from my youth up. As I said, Paul was in this state until he went up to Damascus one day. And on the road to Damascus, a light knocked him to his knees. And he became well informed with what he needed to do to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He needed to stop boasting and how well he kept the law, and he needed to understand, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what will you have me to do? That was his response to the Lord. What will you have me to do? Let's read further. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, no exceptions at all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 24 tells us being justified freely. Being justified, being declared just by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the fact that Jesus redeemed us from the penalty of our breaking the law. Reading further, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, a place of mercy, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The justifier. This young man, what is he trying to do? He's trying to justify himself. All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? But he wasn't justified, and he knew it. He was apprehensive. He knew there was something more to this. He missed something somewhere. What lack I yet? When a young man heard this saying, the Bible says he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. Why did he go away? If thou wilt be perfect, Jesus said in verse 21, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Come and follow me. Now, which one really made him stumble? Not following Jesus. He could see there were multitudes following Jesus, but what made him stumble? Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. That's what made him go away. Because in the process of giving him the commandments, Jesus determinately and purposely left the first three out. I'm the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus didn't mention that. In Exodus 20, we can read these first three commandments and you'll see what the man did not understand when he said, I've fulfilled the law, I've kept the law from my youth. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is in verse 3. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or anything or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath and that is in the water under the earth. No likenesses. Don't try to represent me by things that you see. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Why did he go away? Well, the Bible tells us in our text why he went away, doesn't it? Why did he go away? We find in chapter number 19, in verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He didn't just go away. He went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. You can't have such a love for your possessions and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy spirit. They just won't go together. Now, Jesus also didn't tell him about the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. He was a covetous man. He may have been able to say, well, I've kept the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But he couldn't really claim to have kept the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because his God was his possessions. He wasn't willing to sell everything he had and follow the Lord. He refused to learn when the Lord was through talking to him. Paul tells us in Romans 3 that you cannot save yourself because you're already guilty. And there's nothing you can do about those things that you've already committed. God has to do something with them. And he's the only one that can do anything. Thou shalt not covet is very real in the Ten Commandments. It's the last one. But when you put the first one and the last one together, you have a perfect picture of this man. He didn't love the Lord with all his heart. He loved his possessions. He went away sorrowful. Oh, if I got to sell everything I have, I don't want anything to do with this. Because he was covetous. That 10th commandment showed that he was far short of what he needed. That's why he knew he lacked something. What he lacked was a love for God. What he needed was to not put so much emphasis on his possessions, and he needed to follow the Lord, and he wasn't willing to do that because it was too stringent. In one of the Gospels, it tells us, Mark 10, verse 17, he came running. He came to the Lord running. But the Bible tells us he went away grieving and he went away sorrowful. You read all three gospel accounts. He went away grieving and he went away sorrowful. He came with expectation. He really wanted to hear what he wanted to hear, but it wasn't what Jesus had to tell him. He didn't want to hear that because it turned him away. The three greatest commandments are the first three in the ten. Jesus was asked one day, what is the first and greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy spirit. That includes all three of them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In other words, don't claim to be serving God when you're serving yourself, as this young man was. He loved those riches more than anything. He would rather have his riches than eternal life. Jesus told him what to do, and he wouldn't do it. And he went away sorrowful. Jesus tells us further in our text, in verse 23, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly, and it literally means with great difficulty, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, God saves rich people. Some of the people we read about in the Bible were very rich. Abraham was a rich man. Many of the people that God saved all through the years were rich people. It's not the riches that hindered men. Abraham loved God. And God gave him many riches. Job loved God. God took them all away and he still loved God. And he gave him back more than he took away. So the problem was not the riches. The problem is loving the riches. And not being able to follow God because you put the riches before God. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, people have taken that and twisted it into meaning some gate in Jerusalem and a camel can't get through there because it's too low and all this business. Jesus has been a literal needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. But you know, as well as I do, the same applies to a poor man. We don't have the hindrance, possibly, that a rich man would have, because we don't have riches to trust in. But we have things in our life that can hinder us, and we can love them more than we love God, and they will keep us from trusting the Lord because we don't want to give those things up. There's a hindrance in having a lot of material things, and yet, basically, we're all the same in that regard. We want things. I saw a commercial one time about this store. It was called Stuff Mart. You ever see that about Stuff Mart? Not Walmart. Jeremy, it was Stuff Mart. We go to Stuff Mart to buy stuff. We love our stuff. But beloved, the warning is, you better be careful. Because stuff can become your God. And you can love stuff more than you love the Lord. And every person who hears me today needs to understand this. Do you sense something lacking? Maybe you're a member of the church. I don't know. Your hearts. Is there something still lacking? Maybe you're like the rich man. You were trying to do something. What good thing shall I do? Well, you thought maybe by being baptized and joining the church, that's it. But you know, when it comes to spiritual things, that won't do. You'll still feel like you lack something. Whatever you might put in the place of that, anything that you might want to do, what good thing you might want to do that God would accept you will only hinder you. Because what God wants is you. He don't want your stuff. He wants you. He don't want you, what you can do, because you can't do anything. All have come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. We can't do any good thing except come to Jesus Christ. Knowing we can't do anything. As our hymn sometimes sing, we sing at the end of the service, just as I am, without one plea. You may have $1 million, but you know what? You got to come just as you are, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Have you understood Romans 3:19? When the Bible says the law was given to shut your mouth, to teach you that there's no good thing that any man can do before God that he'll accept. God wants our love, and our love is found in Jesus Christ. The only way you can really love God is through His Son. The only love that you say, I love God, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't love God, you love yourself. You've put something else in place of what God's expecting from you. There's none good, no, not one. If you know the law was given to close your mouth, then why don't you close your mouth? Stop talking about how you had a Sunday school pen from the time you was 3 years old and all these years you've been in church. That won't help you. You must be born again. You must have had a change of heart. You must be made a new creature. And then also, do you know yourself? You really know yourself? This man didn't know himself. He thought he was doing good, but he also thought there was something lacking. And then last of all, will you accept the facts I've preached to you? Will you accept the facts as presented? Only faith in Christ, who kept the law perfectly, died for those who will trust in Him, redeemed us by paying the price we could not pay, put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. Our debt has been paid in full through faith in Christ. Now in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, this is a powerful verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only way you'll ever have any peace, the only way you'll ever be put away that doubt, what lack I yet, is just simply have the peace of God in your heart, because you know Christ loved me and He died for me. And He's the only hope I have. We used to sing this song in Bible school years ago when we lived in Bourbon County. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified for me. He died. He's all I need. That's the simplicity of what a person needs. As a man asks a question, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, the only good thing you can do is do nothing. Brother Gorman used to put it like this: quit doing anything and trust. Quit trying to do something so God will accept you. And just trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, the Proverbs say. He shall direct thy paths. Can you do what the rich young ruler refused to? Again, you may be a member of this church. But if you've got something lacking and you don't really have peace with God, and that's what really matters, is not whether or not you have peace with me or with the church. Do you have peace with God? This young man refused to do what he knew Jesus told him to do, and he went away sorrowful. We'll leave you in a little while. I'm just going to be quite blunt with you and ask you, how are you going to leave? You're going to leave like the rich young ruler? You're going to leave with some doubt? You're going to leave with something lacking in your life? If you're not saved, that's exactly how you'll leave. Because the only way a man can have peace with God is to know Jesus Christ loved me. We used to sing that too in Bible school. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And that's all you have, folks. You don't have something written in the sky. You're not going to get a letter from God. You're not going to get some big emotional stir. You're going to have to, by faith, believe the message. Jesus loves me because he wanted to. Jesus loved me. That's why he died for me. Just ask the question as we close. What good thing might I do? Nothing. What lack I yet? I don't know. But if there's something there, the only way you can get rid of it without going away sorrowful is to be honest with God, be honest with yourself, and know that the one thing you really don't have is peace with God, because you do not, have not, accepted Christ entirely and completely as your only hope before God. This man stumbled. Good master, what good thing shall I do? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? You see, he didn't understand who he was talking to. Jesus Christ is God. He was able to forget. How many times did Jesus say, thy sins be forgiven thee? But he didn't say it to this man. Why not? Because he didn't know who God was in the person of Christ. And his God was another God. It was all the riches, all the things that he had. And he refused to accept what Jesus told him. This is how you can enter into life. Take your love away from these things and come follow me. That goes with the gospel. The way you can show that Jesus loves you is follow him. Follow him into waters of baptism. Jesus was baptized. But go in there expecting not to be saved, but go in there expecting to be obedient to the Lord for what he's done for you.